All right, guys, welcome to East Lake Church, Tijuana. Yeah, somebody's excited over here. Who was that? All right, cool. That coffee was good, right? Yeah. So if you guys have your books, please turn to page 46. We are in week 4 of the Cannonball series. We've got 2 more weeks. There's 6 weeks in this series. We've got 2 more weeks. Page 46, you'll have your outline there in that book. Glad you guys are here with us. Glad you made it. Glad you thought about, you know what, I have to be at the church on time, so you move your clocks and all that. Because coming to church is the most important thing in your lives, right? Amen. All right, for some of you, right? Okay, cool. Awesome. Last week, for those of you who are here or not here, last week we looked at a dangerous prayer from Psalm 139. I don't know how many of you guys remember that, where it said, "Search me, God." You guys remember that? Well, today's prayer is also very dangerous, where it says, "Break me. Break me. Break me, God." And your response might be, or you might be thinking, "No, thank you." Right? I'll pass on that prayer. That's not for me. Maybe for my neighbor, right? It's playing La Banda all night long, right? Bum, 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 right? You guys ever experienced that? We have. It wasn't nice, you know? But that prayer, a lot of people don't want to pray that prayer. Break me. Break me. You know, no thanks. I'll pass on that prayer. But I think that when we're done considering a couple of different sections of Scripture, you'll be open to what the results could mean. All right? The idea is this. To break through any hardness of the heart keeping us from real life change. Did you guys get that? Did you guys get that? The idea is to break through any hardness of the heart keeping us from real life change. That's the idea. It's a prayer that invites God to heal deeply. Right? It's a prayer that opens me to a deeper experience of His love. It's a prayer that will result in worship. It's a prayer that will result in worship. But to invite a breaking to receive healing is not easy. It's not. You know, we want it easy. We want it easy. Hey, pastor, pray for me. Okay, no, I'm not going to pray for you, but I want you to take these steps on. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy. To invite a break into receive healing is not easy. So we received an email. This email came into the network, and this is what it said. It's on the screen. It said this. When I was 48 years old, my cardiologist gave me the news that I had a hole in my heart the size of a 50-cent piece. He explained it in no uncertain terms that if it weren't repaired, my future was not promising. The only way to fix it was by open heart surgery. I was stunned. It was incomprehensible to me that I had been walking around for years with a fatal defect that could certainly cut my life short. I was terrified, knowing that the only solution was to have my chest cracked open, my heart stopped so the surgeon can cut it open. I was out of options. Had to be broken open to heal my broken heart. I lost a lot of sleep in the next few weeks until the surgery. It turned out to be not nearly as horrible as all the worrying I did about it before it happened. My recovery was not easy, and there were some fairly serious difficulties along the way. That was 22 years ago. Last week, I turned 70. I celebrated with dear friends I never would have met if I hadn't been broken open and my heart mended and been healed. God longs to mend our hearts, but in the process, He has to break us open When we allow him to do the work in us, he heals us and gives us a life more full than we ever could have imagined. If we surrender in trust to Jesus, we no longer need to surrender to fear. Jesus wants to heal the broken pieces of our lives. He wants to help us and not hurt us. He wants to help us and not hurt us. To understand better what we're talking about today, let's look at an event in the Bible where someone broken breaks something that then produces praise. Mark 14:3. It's on the screen, should be on your outline. Here it is. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at a table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. We learn a little bit more about this woman in the Gospel of Luke. This is what it says. It's on the screen. Luke 7:36-38 says this. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. This woman has been impacted by Jesus. This woman has been impacted by Jesus. She is described as a woman who had lived a sinful life, like me. Right? I think we could all raise our hands to that, right? Right? She's described as a woman who had lived a sinful life, and to be described that way as a woman in that culture usually meant prostitute. And nobody wants to be a prostitute, right? It was a tragic last step after the death of a spouse, not having any sons to take care of you. That's usually what would happen in those days. When a woman was a prostitute, it's because there was a death of the spouse and they had no sons to take care of her. That's usually what would happen. She was marginalized, judged on a daily basis. Right? But then one day, she meets a man who treats her differently. She had been impacted by the forgiveness of God and the love of Jesus. She surrendered to his love, to his unconditional love and acceptance. And she decided to go all in to express her love for him. Then you have the host of the party, right? Simon, known as the leper, Simon the leper. He had been healed most likely by Jesus. He was a man of wealth and influence. And then you have Jesus, a rabbi, who is the talk of the town, right? This sounds like an opening line to a joke, right? A prostitute, a leper, and a rabbi walk into a bar. The dinner party was in full swing. They were hanging out. They were eating. There were, I don't know, chips and salsa. I don't know what they were eating, right? Simon is the host, but doesn't want to burn any bridges with the religious leaders. He wants to be seen with Jesus and friends as all in, but careful not to jeopardize his position, right? Because fully honoring Jesus, now check it out, okay? Fully honoring Jesus could cost him power. Money and influence. That's something when we think about something, hey, if I go to Jesus, I'm going to, you know? So Simon hasn't welcomed him with a kiss, what would normally happen in that culture, right? He hasn't provided any water to wash his feet, which was a cultural insult. You know, you're walking into someone's door, you hand him a kiss and you bring him a bowl and you wash his feet. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. So Simon is dipping his toe in the pool, not ready to cannonball. He's not ready to cannonball. He still wants to hang out with his buddies over here, and kind of like what we go through, right? Oh, cannonball, that's not for me. That's for them. And then this woman with a terrible reputation crashes the party. She brought an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. It had no cork to pull out or put it back in. The only way to get the perfume out is to break the neck of the jar. Bah! There is no putting it back. It requires an all-in cannonball decision. How valuable was it? As she breaks it open, one of the disciples cries out, "That jar is worth a year's wages." How much are you making a year? That's what it's worth. That's what it's worth. It's an extravagant gift of worship in response to Jesus' love. Because she has been forgiven completely, she holds nothing back. Because she has surrendered completely, she holds on to nothing in the past. Here's your first feeling. Her gift represents her past and her future. Because Jesus treated her like she's never been treated before. Because Jesus has loved her like she's never been loved before. She knew she could let go of all the painful regrets of her past. And I hope and pray that you can grab that today. Her hopeless future was completely altered. Like mine. And the only reasonable response to Jesus is surrender. Why wouldn't I? After all that God has done for me. If you guys knew my story, hey, praise God for the change in my life. And I'm sure the same with you. I'm sure it's the same with you. Her surrender and gratitude are a display in her generosity. That's why I got no problem to cannibal. I got no problem to cannibal. Later in the chapter, Jesus does the exact same thing this woman does. but he does it for you and for me. He does it for you and for me. His alabaster jar represents his body, which is broken for us. She broke the jar. He broke the bread, representing his body. Going on the cross for us. Mark 14, 22 to 24 says this. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." He took a cup of wine and gave thanks for it and thanked God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice for many." All of a sudden, right, we realize there's so much more going on here. You might think they broke the bread and drank some wine and we're kicking it, right? So much more going on here. This connection of her gift to him and his gift to us tells us that, here's your next feeling, his gift represents our past, our present, and our future. Her story is our story. Our past is cleansed and forgiven, for those of you who believe in Jesus. Our present is this faith community today. Our future is to help people find and follow the same Jesus. That's what we're doing. Wanting to reach more people to get to know Jesus, because what he's offering us is awesome. I love it. Me and my wife talked about and prayed for every single line in this card. And to be honest, we had no problem. We had to make some budget cuts and some no more sushi as often as we used to go, right? To the sushi. We love sushi. You guys want to invite us to dinner? Sushi is, yeah. It's not cheap. It's not like tacos. Right? We had to make some cuts. I don't have an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. I don't live under the suffocating religious pressure of Jerusalem of 33 AD. This is our time and our resources and our opportunity to cannibal. We have one shot. This one life in our generation, in this moment. You're not going to be able to come back to life and do it all over again. Right? This is what we got. In this moment, in this generation, to make our lives count. For what I believe you guys believe. That Jesus came and saved us, right? Promising eternal life. This is not it. We go into eternity, but this is it here. This is all we got. We were talking outside. It's like, hey, the older we get, the faster the time goes, right? I remember summer was, when I was a kid, summer was so long. Like, wow, you know? Now it's like month. It's like, here comes the rent. Here comes the bills. And, you know, it's like, wow, here's another birthday. Right? I've been here 7 years and it flew like that. I'm like, what do I got left? I mean, I know I look 30, but I'm 47. I'm 47. I mean, how much more time do I have? For my to make my life count, to leave a legacy, to take as many people as possible with me to heaven. You know, to disciple people, to help them take their next right step so they could reach other people for Jesus. How much time do we have left? 7 years flew like that. Maybe 15, maybe 20. Where I'm like active? You know what I mean? How much time do we have left? It's time to cannibal. All in. Luke 22:19 says this, "And Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now this is an incredible story that comes full circle. Her gift, a broken alabaster jar of perfume, foreshadowed his gift. Jesus pouring out his life for us on the cross. He didn't tiptoe. Maybe that guy's not, I don't think, no. He's not worth it. You know? He did it. And what's crazy is that at any moment he could have said no. I mean, have you guys seen the movie Passion of the Christ? I mean, that's just an example. I don't think that's the full. At any moment, he could have sent a legion of angels to come and handle it, right? And that's what's even crazier. He surrendered. He gave it all for me and you. And now we fast forward 2,000 years. We are that woman. We are that woman. Forgiven by Jesus, and he gave the ultimate gift for us. And now our gift is also, here's your next feeling, our gift is also to be broken and poured out for God's glory. That's what he's asking us to do. I mean, I've seen many of you. You know, some of you have been with us since the beginning, since I remember we started our first growth group in Tijuana. We didn't know anybody. Our first friends here were the Prieto family. Raise your hand, please. Those are my friends here. 6 years ago. I'm like, let's start a growth group. And we're like, okay. And you're like, yeah, my house, okay. They invited all of their friends. There was like, I don't know, 25 people in their houses. Like, I've never done this before. This was my first time. You know? There was this thing going on in me that like, yay, start a church. But I had no experience. So I showed up at the house, right? And I didn't know anybody. My first time, 25 people, they were like, you know, I was nervous, I was shaking, you know, like, what are you going to say, how are you going to say, you know? And I needed my notes, and I had no experience of how to look into my notes and stuff like that, and I was just like, I want to have my notes right here, I want to have my notes, and there was no table, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to have to get comfortable. And I sat on the floor, right? I sat on the floor, like my knees were like this, right? And I was sitting, and I was lower, and they were all sitting down in the chair. And then I started, my legs started to fall asleep. Right? That was the falling star asleep, and it started going like this, right? I was going like this, shaking, and I was going like this, and my wife was getting nervous. She was going like, pop, 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 like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, it was going like that, right? After the whole thing, Eduardo goes, "Hey, bro, I didn't know you were Muslim." The following week, I think maybe 10 people showed up, but the other 15 are like, forget that guy. I mean, God wants to use every single one of us. I mean, we're not going to start like knowing everything. I'm not perfect. I wasn't perfect. But I felt that God was going like this. Come on, baby. Come on, son. Come on, son. Right? I've seen many of you. You know, surrender, live, surrender again and again and again. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you guys who have surrendered and gave your life for this mission. Right? You're members of East Lake Church. You've given faithfully and sacrificially. And as a result of your cannibal lifestyle, many people, God has done some amazing things here in Playas. Thank you guys. Ken Huff is another example of that cannibal heart. He's a member of the network. He goes to Torrey Pines, East Lake Torrey Pines. Here's this his testimony. Watch this.
I am Ken Huff, and I'm 84 years of age. Ramona and I met in college at Kentucky Christian University. I sort of swept her off of her feet, so to speak, and we ended up getting married in 1954 and had, those marvelous 60 years together. Ramona passed away in 2012 as a result of Alzheimer's. Well, actually, I've been a part of Torrey Pines Church for 30 years. My wife Ramona and I came there in 1986. Great experiences over all of those years serving on the staff and with the people there. But in the last few years, realizing that some things really needed to change. And so through a period of studying, we came up with the idea of partnering with East Lake Church. I think that the biggest thing that I find challenging working with East Lake is the fact that they have caused me to do a lot of stretching, realizing that in this modern day that we really had to change if we were going to be able to reach the college students, the millennials, the younger crowd. We could not be like we were before. The thing that I find a great deal of blessing in terms of giving to the East Lake Network is where they are and have their compassion for the lost, their compassion for our community, whether it's the homeless or the trafficking part or the establishing of new churches, that their ultimate goal is to see people want to Christ. And to me, that's what the Great Commission is about, is going out and making disciples. And that's the thing, the joy that I really have that I see in East Lake Church. First of all, I am very committed to tithing, but the generosity comes over and beyond that. It is not saying, okay, I'm going to take a portion of my tithe and say that's generosity. No, the generosity comes over and above what we're doing now. And it is really stretching not only our finances, I think it's stretching our faith. It's almost like Ramona is still saying to me and urging me, Ken, you know, you must be generous in terms of your giving to the wonderful program of Cannonball, even though we may have other things that will come along later on, we need to be faithful in the things that are happening today.
My wife and I prayed and agreed on an amount, right? Of and like I said, we had to do a budget and all that stuff, which is, for a lot of us, is not easy to get on a budget, right? Right? Or is it just my wife? We know it. I know it. We know it. And as a matter of fact, we're doing a money study starting April 5th. Yeah. Right? It's going to happen here at the church Wednesday night, 7:30. There's going to be a money study. We're going to learn how to live on a budget, make a budget, and stuff like that. So you can sign up for that after the message. All right? So me and my wife already agreed in an amount, and we had to make some adjustments, because we love what when we see people change, when they come to church and they come to know Jesus, and their whole life changes, and now they have this hope, this new purpose. I love that. I get emotional when I see people getting baptized. I get emotional when people come to us and say, "This is the first time I'm giving to church." Because it's not that God wants something from us. He wants something for you. I mean, we've been giving more than ever before, and we've been going on vacation more than ever before. Is that crazy? Yeah. He's faithful. He's faithful. I don't like private jets, so don't think I'm going to go buy a private jet. Right? Okay, you got that? No private jet for Pastor Fito. We have 100% trust in the faithfulness of God. Philippians 2:15 and 17 says this. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. You're more like, I'm too broken. I'm too broken to be out, to be poured out for the glory of God. Not me. I'm too jacked up. I know a lot of you, you're jacked up, right? But Jesus, the reality is that's the only kind of gig God uses. When you're real with Him. And you think I'm here because I'm perfect? No. How many of you guys know the Japanese art form of kintsugi? Kintsugi. It's gold joinery. Check out these pictures. Right? Beautiful pictures of brokenness, right? The idea is that the breaks or the flaws joined with gold are more beautiful than new. That's us. That gold is the blood of Jesus. As she poured the perfume She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She connected with Jesus at a point of her brokenness. And it's true of us. Pastor Craig Rochelle said this: we impress people with our strength, but we connect deeply with people through our weaknesses. That's why I got no problem telling you my story. We connect deeply with Jesus when we bring our weaknesses to Him. Not that we hide them. Our brokenness doesn't turn Him away. He's not, He already knows. Worship team, can you please come back up? I want to celebrate His work of healing, His kintsugi, by receiving communion today. So, yeah, can you guys grab those communion elements? They're by your chair. They're a little, they're not that easy to open. For those of you who are here, who don't have a relationship with Jesus, that have not said yes to Jesus yet, but maybe the Holy Spirit has been knocking on your door and you want to say yes to Him, participate in communion, and that's your way of saying yes. I want what You have to offer me, Lord. The way we do communion here, we have open communion. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to go to a special class. But what I want to do is that have a moment of reflection to for us to be participating in communion with a clear conscience. I'm going to give you a moment to just say, you know what, Lord, this week this happened and this happened, and just, you know, ask Him for forgiveness. I'm going to give you a moment for you guys to do that. Remembering that in our brokenness, Jesus has offered healing and forgiveness. So as Jesus was hanging out with His disciples, He's having dinner. In the middle of dinner, he took some bread and broke it. He gave thanks and said that this is My body. This is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So let's take the bread. After that, He took the cup. This is the new covenant in My blood, which was poured out for you. Take this in remembrance of Me. Just take the cup. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your sacrifice for us. I pray for every single person in this room open their minds and their hearts. I want them to leave, Lord God, that knowing that you completely accept them as they are. But you love them way too much to leave them like that. And remind us during the week, Lord God, that you are with us at all times. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience. Help us to be obedient. Because we know, Lord God, that you don't want anything from us but for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.